Okay. If you'll grab your seats, this is the time for testimony. This is the time for you to share problems that you have, blessings that you receive from the Lord. It's just your special time to share. And so we'll leave it up to you to bless us with whatever thoughts that you have. We're going to ask Brother John Carabas to open with prayer at this time.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy holy name. And Father, we're thankful for the many blessings that you bestow on us here. And thankful for the fellowship, Father. And we pray thy blessing now upon the testimonies that will be given. Help each and every one of us that we would be encouraged and strengthened by the words that will be spoken, by those who will testify, and that we all may be mutually blessed one with another. Be with us now. May the Holy Spirit guide and direct us here. These favors we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
One quick notice, Peter Carabas said that his morning talk, if you want the outline, it is on the back table. So if you want to get that outline from Peter Carabas' morning talk, you can do that at the table afterwards. We will open with hymn number 281. To come forward now, he will lead the testimony meeting. We are going to start with a special little something that I promised you at the beginning here.
It wouldn't be me, President.
Praise ye, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. praise thee, the Lord. Hallelujah, praise thee, the Lord.
There will be a roving microphone, Mr. Hicks in the back here. I would ask that you would allow him to get to you so you can speak into the microphone so we can all receive the blessing. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Brethren, I think it's a great privilege to be one spiritual family. And I remember when I first came to America, I landed in Chicago, and I was starting my life here. I went to a convention in Los Angeles, and my coworkers said, "Where are you going for the weekend?" And I said, "Well, I'm going to Los Angeles." "And what do you have there?" they asked me. I said, "Well, I have friends and family." And they said, "Come, how come? You just came to this country and you have friends and you're going to Los Angeles, you're going to Florida," because I told them I was going to another convention. And I said, "That's my privilege, to have a family where whenever you go, you're among the brethren, you're among the family members." And you know how it is with families. It used to be that they would gather around the table and they would often have conversation. Today we have a spiritual feast where we are gathered around the Lord's table and we are considering wonderful promises. And now it's time for you to share with us, as families do, your experiences, your joys, your appreciation for the Lord, His promises. That's the blessed time. And the scripture is the manna from today, where Apostle wrote, "I do exercise myself to have always a conscious void of obedience, of offense, excuse me, towards God and toward man." So if you would like to use this scripture or any other to share with your family, with your friends, so they can share your joy or sorrow or your experiences, this is a very good time to do that. Meeting is yours, and I would like to encourage, who would like to be first? Yes. Please state your name. You know I am new here, and so I would like to learn the names of the brethren. It's good to know family members' names. Sister Kathy.
I'm Sister Kathy Miguez from Chicago, and I have much to share with you. I bring the love from my parents, who Joe brought, from my brother and sister-in-law, Russ and Camille Martin, from Mark and Roberta Tabak, and from the three studies that I attend during the week. They all wanted to be remembered to the friends here. It's really a blessing to be here. I'm enjoying it very much. It started out with a real treat for me. This week I was at work. I have to fill out an annual review, and so you have to fill out these evaluations, self-evaluation of yourself, and you know, your strengths and your weaknesses, and you're trying to come up with something. But in the process of doing that, I said to Joe, "You know, this would be so good for the brethren to do. you know, to just think about what are my strengths and where do I have to work? What do I have to work on?" And lo and behold, Brother Homer Montague gives the first talk on end of year inventory, and it was like the Lord answered my prayer. It was so such a treat. So I really appreciated that kind of a special assurance for the first talk. Also, I wanted to just tell you somewhat of in general of my experiences this year. I seem to be having very repetitive experiences, and both with the brethren as well as at work, the same type of experience over and over again. And I asked the Lord about it, and what I'm supposed to learn, and I think I'm finally getting the answer through our sister study. We chose a new subject, and it's the subject of Peter, the life of Peter. And I'm just following his experiences and seeing so many of my own mistakes in his life. And I just feel like it's kind of a mirror of my experiences this year of both mistakes I've made verbally and through my actions. And so I can really relate to him so much, and I've appreciated that. And then especially seeing that the Lord loved him and forgave him. And it's a real comfort to me. And so as a result, when it came time for Bible class, I chose the subject of Peter. And those were the children that I taught this morning that you just heard singing, and they were just delightful. And I was real glad for that opportunity and privilege to teach them and share those blessings with them. But the real reason I'm testifying today is because I'm bringing a testimony to you of persistence and perseverance and patient endurance, the kind that's spoken of in the scriptures of that hupomone, that patient endurance, that cheerful endurance amidst trial. And I'm bringing you the testimony of Brother Carl. Brother Carl has, since the summertime, has been unable to use the computer. He hasn't had the ability to sit upright, and he's had difficulty maneuvering with his hands. And so the Lord granted me the opportunity of having that privilege of working with him and penning his words for him. And twice a week, we meet together, and we've become very close, and it's been a very beautiful opportunity. Didn't expect to do this, sorry. But it's been a real joy for both of us. Many times I kind of struggle and think, I don't know if I can keep up with work and my studies and everything else. And somehow I get there, and as soon as I walk in the door, it's just a delight to see him. You probably know or can picture the little twinkle in his eye that he just lights up when he sees you come in the door. And we've just had very special times. We don't really even have to say it to each other. We kind of understand each other. And what else was I going to say? The lesson I want to tell you of persistence is Brother Carl is determined to keep serving the Lord regardless of his experiences, his physical difficulties. And when I was there a week and a half ago, he was choking on food, and he still was determined to speak and for me to capture what he wanted to say. And it makes me think of the hymn number 2, the phrase that says, "Yet while a breath, a pulse remains." I will remember you. I did ask Brother Carl, before I left, he asked me to look, where is that? Excuse me. I'm sorry, I'm not prepared here. I can't find it. I had it here. That's it. Thank you very much. He, as you probably know, Brother Carl loves poetry, and he wrote a poem, and he wanted me to read it. He had saved it on his computer in early November when he was still able to do a little typing. And so I read it, and I told him I read it, and I enjoyed it, and if I could share it with you brethren here today, and he agreed. So this is Brother Carl's testimony in the form of a poem. And so I leave you with Shalom. Shalom, we pray for that grand peace when wars shall end and fighting cease. Shalom will soothe the aching breast with comfort, faith, and joy and rest. Shalom, which makes each trial blessed,
believing God knows what is best. What lessons must the heavenly seed learn well to give men what they need? Shalom, 'twill come to one and all who suffered death through Adam's fall, both peace without and peace within, when Christ shall fully conquer sin. Shalom, shalom, men soon will sing the praises of our Lord and King, when peace shall reign from shore to shore, and men shall live forevermore. And just a final update, I talked to Sister Teresa, who told us that he was readmitted to the hospital and is in intensive care right now.
Thank you, Sister Kathy, for sharing with us. And this is one of the privileges of being one family, that we do share our sorrow and our pain, our experiences. And I think that it will be hard to find among us those who cannot share something and relate to Brother Carl and his ministry to all of us. And I think it would be appropriate, knowing that the situation, maybe that we would ask a special blessing from the Lord now for Brother Carl, not only for him, for us and the entire family of the Lord as we go through those experiences. So maybe I'm going to ask Brother Robin, would you ask the Lord's blessing upon those of our friends who... Brother, could you please... Brother Robin, rise.
Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the ministry of Brother Carl and all that he has done for us, and we look to him and to his example that he has led for us, and we pray that you would be with him in this, in his closing experiences. Give him the strength, as he has already been displaying, to continue on until the very end, faithful to thee. And we pray that you would be with all of his family and all of his, all the brethren who love him so much, that each of us can carry on after Brother Carl has gone beyond, that we can live up to his example and follow as he has followed thy son, and use him as a touchstone for our lives. So we pray that you would comfort all and give him the strength. And we thank you so much. And we pray that we all may be faithful and be able to meet with him and all of those who have already passed beyond at that glorious supper with Jesus, thy son. We thank you for these things. We thank you in Jesus' dear name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Who would like to be next? Yes, Brother.
My name is Jeff Needle. I live here in the San Diego area. And Kathy, when you speak to Carl, please tell him that Jeff Needle is thinking about him and hoping that he recovers soon. Just very briefly, I wanted to give thanks. I don't know in what order, so I'll do them in any order. First of all, to the San Diego folks who for 33 years, hard to believe, have been such good friends and accepting of this old Jewish fellow who comes along to the conventions and to meetings sometimes. I'm thankful to the brethren around the world, people who I've gotten to meet and who have been so loving and kind. And finally, a great thanks to God, who for reasons beyond my understanding keep all of us going one year after the next. We seem to make it, and it's only by his grace that we do so. So my highest thanks, of course, is to our dear God, who is so kind and so wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate your testimony and expression of thankfulness. Do we have another hand? Yes.
Age before beauty, brethren. Brother Darius, Austin Williams from the New York Flyers. Brethren, testifying is always a wonderful thing, in the sense that this is one time you really get to know your brethren. And that is invariably, some brethren may not be able to open up as much as we would like them to, but nevertheless, especially I want to bring the love of your brethren from the land of many are frozen, few are cold. But I understand there are many frozen here too, since the weather in Southern California was quite cold the last 3 days. Special love from brethren, especially Brother Bob and Deanna, as we speak there in India, along with Brother Wade and Lois and Brother Ernie and Janice Kinsley. One of the things, as brethren made the remark about Brother Homer's talk, taking an inventory control of your year's experiences, one of the things we do in business, at least I inculcate that, and one of the good things is I don't have a boss, so I'm the boss. So whatever I inculcate, my employees have to listen to me. But nevertheless, it's not listening. You have to practice before you preach. And the three things we use in business is aggressiveness, perseverance, and insistence. And as Sister Miguez was testifying, I couldn't help but to think that. And aggressiveness in the sense, not in terms of unethical business, but aggressive to go and get business, and persistence, it has some meaning in terms of how we can extrapolate that into our Christian walk. And I insist on the last part, and that is insistence, and insistence about corporate laws, insistence on regulatory affairs, and insistence on values. And when you look at that and apply that in our Christian walk, I realize we talk about the governmental or political insistence, but Christian walk insistence is paramount to each one of us, should be paramount for each one of us in terms of as we see the morning devotions, for example, this morning, read and heard this time and again. One thing which stuck in my mind this morning, I will scrutinize my thoughts. How often do we scrutinize our thoughts? And that is, before coming to the convention, how many bad thoughts did permeate our cranium? It is natural. It is natural because when you look at the human physiology, the amount of information which is pounded on your cerebrum, it's in thousands or millions. Here's an experience which was given to me when I was going to school. I was given a pen and a paper, and they said, you have 5 minutes, and you write whatever comes to your mind. Whatever comes to your mind, doesn't matter. Just write. I wrote everything, and the person who was assessing it looked at it, and he said, every thought, every line was totally different. No connection whatsoever. The point I'm making is, it's the thinking process and the thoughts we entertain. Brethren, I remember 3 years ago, was it? I served the brethren here in San Diego, and the discourse was titled, Does It Really Matter? Does it really matter how you think? It surely does. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, and the thinking process, it is so important that the more we can think of the things of the above, the lesser it is for us to undo the things of the earthly. It helps me tremendously because, and I like that this morning devotions, scrutinize your thoughts. Am I scrutinizing my thoughts? But brethren, it's always a privilege and it's a joy to be with my extended family. There's no question. And each one of you, as I see and across the room, sometimes our eyes contact and I may not be able to, as the scriptures say, greet the brethren with a holy kiss. The Greek word is not kiss, holy hug. That's the Greek word. Yeah, oh yeah, so every, again, with the hymn we sang, a new gem appears. Every day there's a new gem appears. That helps every now and then. And that's why we come together, brethren. It's to water one another and it's express our thoughts and our meditations in among the issues. And then I was talking to having lunch with the Nikolai and Sister Becky.
They get your name right.
Okay. Grugians. And one of the things is I love to travel. When I travel, I like to observe things, what's happening around the world by and large. And one of the things, I came back from India when I came last March. Invariably, when you think of India, you would think it's a conservative society. It's not. That's the norm. And I was thinking of Revelation when I was in India, and my wife says, you're really cuckoo.
I said, why? Well, that's all you can think of. So anyway, the two things which really struck my mind this time when I was in India was out of the 1.1 billion people, we have about 400 million which are middle class. And a conservative society where one system is going to collapse, I could see the smattering of that. And that is the society living together has become a norm. I never would have envisioned that in my wildest dreams, that a place like India where grown-ups who are working, living together is becoming a norm. And I said, wait a minute, let's see, what is the lesson here? Go to the four systems. The other system is, I was thinking about, I'm sure, in America we are talking about the subprime issue. It's a simple thing, brethren. It's banks loaning people who have no money, no collateral, they're loaning money. That's all it's all about, subprime. That's been happening in India for a long time now, at least for a year or two. And I made the remark, General Electric has their one end of their division called General G Capital. It loans money to people in the middle of the market in a little kiosk without any collateral. There's no social security system, by the way. You know how do they collect money in India if you don't pay? They send people to your house. They say, we know where your children go to school. We know where your wife goes to school, I mean, to work. Here's the car keys. You haven't paid for 2 months. We'll be back tomorrow. That gets the message. But that's only a part of the population you can attack. I mean, in India, if I walk around, I'll be the same out of 1.1 billion people. I skip town, there's no way they can find me. There is no way you can find me out of 1.1 billion people. No. Because there's nothing to link you with. But I could see the smattering of the financial system also, how it is. And just extrapolate that 10 times over, and that's exactly what's happening in China. I have a few of my classmates who started businesses and alliances in China. They said, you cross the government, next morning you may not be alive to run your business. Clean and straight. And so when you look at all the aspects which are happening around the world, when you look at it, and but I can't help but to think in our weekday studies, of course we have Revelation, we have Exodus, we have Volume 2 and Volume 3 as well. I'm mindful of what's happening when we see in Iraq, and always comes to my mind, as Brother Homer would say, you talk about the four winds being let loose, just look at Iraq. You'll get a good glimpse of what the four winds being let loose may be like. Imagine that experience, worldwide phenomena, of people killing each other, blowing themselves up every day. It's amazing. And as I was explaining this to my mother, and of course I've told some brethren, her answer was, and I said, I hope I'm not here when that four winds are let loose. And the remark was, what, you're planning to move to India? So I said, Mother, I hope I made my calling election sure. That's what I'm referring to. But be that as it may, brethren, I mean, as when you look at all of these financial and economic and exuberance and all of that, and as the question was also posed, who do you think will be in the White House? Yeah, whoever the Lord wants it to be in that White House. Absolutely. He's going to accomplish his purpose. And as Brother Jim Parkinson was talking about, no matter how high-tech our world may be, he's going to accomplish how he wants to accomplish, what he wants to accomplish, whether it's in the form of warfare, whether it's form of economics, or name it. And I'm so grateful to be in an environment where we have such wonderful abilities to be with brethren of like precious faith as much as possible in terms of meetings, and also have fellowship as often as we can. And I'm really grateful because I know what it's like when you're isolated, and you want to be isolated. You may be living amongst brethren, but you know what it's, if you want to isolate yourself, you can do that. Again, I raise my voice to the Heavenly Father for all the wonderful blessings He's bestowed upon me. And one of the things, last thing I'm going to say is, my mother always says this, look, you have no problem selling the Brooklyn Bridge to the guy who built it. So I will close my testimony by saying, thank the Lord, and I'm grateful to be here.
Thank you.
I think we had several more hands here. Yes, Sister.
I thank you all, brethren, and I'd like to thank the Ecclesia for putting on and for all our speakers and all the gems they give us. And
if
I was
you state
wondering,
your name, I think there may be brethren on the internet listening. They would like to know who is talking. That's what
okay.
We do.
Okay. I'm Sylvia Golby from Alberta, Canada, and we've been coming to the San Diego Convention for many years now, so I do know some of them, and quite a few of them do know who I am. Kathy here and Margie.
Right.
Anyway, would it be amiss if I asked for a song?
I think it would be.
Now, we still, I've had the blessing of meeting Carl Hagensick years ago here at this one of these conventions here. Only once did we meet him. But I would like us to sing song number 2 for him.
Okay. We'll do that. And, yes, please. Unless we have other hands, someone is ready to test. Oh, we have several hands. So let's do this. Let's wait for one more moment until we have a pause. Then we'll sing the hymn. I would like to ask for your 2 or 3 more testimonies. So, yes.
No, I'm next, but Brother Homer Monte from New York, and Sister Beverly and I are very, very thankful to be in your midst here in San Diego. And I was looking over the audience, and I realized that, you know, there's nothing like being among your brethren wherever they are. And we've had the privilege to be in the homes of several of the brethren that are here, Sister Beverly and myself. And I'm not sure, you know, that we will be in contact with Brother Carl and Sister Marge directly. And so this is sort of like a testimony in terms of appreciation as to how they have impacted our lives. I would say, first of all, that I can look back that Sister Beverly and I had the opportunity not only to stay at Brother Carl and Sister Marge's home, but on several occasions we took trips together visiting isolated brethren in different parts of the United States as well as in Canada. And they were always very rich occasions of fellowship. And I think about Sister Marge's dedication also, because I know that those of you who know her, that she's been very attentive to him. And sometimes she'd be up all night, and then sometimes we'd have somebody from perhaps even from a foreign country with us, and she had not slept at night, and yet Brother Carl and I would talk endlessly for hours in the car, and she would be able to try to interpret what we were saying. So it was really quite a loving kind of experience, and to see that deep devotion, mutual dedication, and desire to be a blessing under whatever circumstances. On a very personal level, we can recall Brother Carl and Sister Marge came to New York just about 12 years ago when Brother Tim and Sister Kathy married, and after the official marriage ceremony, Brother Carl gave a discourse, which I will never forget, about a 15-minute mini discourse concerning marriage, and we were very pleased that some of the brethren that were here, that were there, are also in this audience. And I don't see Brother Steve Mingles here, but I do have, that's Junior, but I do have a memory when Brother Carl, because at the site where the wedding took place, there were different levels, and it was necessary to move Brother Carl from one level to the next, and you know, a number of the brethren were trying to get him to move, and I don't know why Big Steve calls him Little Steve, but Little Steve picked up Brother Carl by himself and moved him where he needed to go. And I said, that is a labor of love, let me tell you. So I appreciate that. I make the connection because I know that so many of you have asked about Brother Tim in particular, and I was so very, very happy. I just called home a little while ago, and Brother Tim was home. He answered the phone. I was surprised, and I saw Brother Brad Bach, and I immediately, because we had some discussion about Brother Tim, and I was glad to put him on the phone so he could talk to him directly. So we're very, very thankful for that. Finally, for the brethren in San Diego, we do miss Sister Lynn and Brother Richard, and I know that some of you have spoken to them, and we spoke to them today, and we were trying to encourage them to come out tomorrow. Sister Lynn apparently was not able to do so, so God willing, we're going to go by and visit them at their home tomorrow and try to encourage them in person, and we said that we can't come to San Diego and not see you, so they both were welcoming our visit there. So again, there are many, many brethren, as I said in my opening discourse. I'm sure that each of us could tell a testimony concerning some of the experiences that we have in our lives, but how thankful we are that we have a Heavenly Father and we do have brethren who are able to empathize, to be supportive in their prayers, even unknown to us, and that gives us strength. So, again, thank you, brethren of San Diego, for providing this wonderful, wonderful convention. We've appreciated it very much.
Thank you. Yes, brother. I'm Brother Lee Hicks from San Luis Obispo Ecclesia. I'd like to raise my voice to the Heavenly Father for permitting myself and my wife, Sathala, to be here with those of like faith. You know, one time today, one brother says to me, he says, you know, we are brothers. We have the same mother. And I said, yes, who's the mother, you know? But he asked me, who's the mother? And I said, well, Sarah's our mother. You know, we are so fortunate to be of like faith. But one of the things I want to say is that I am so joyful that the Lord has brought me out of darkness into his marvelous light of truth. You know, when the Lord reminded the children of Israel over and over again, remember, I brought you up out of Egypt, you know, from slavery, and also myself. I'm sure it applies to each and every one of us. We was in the dark, serving those that was no gods, but we have been given the opportunity to run for the high calling and follow in the footsteps of his dear, beloved, only begotten son. One thing I want to bring to your attention. I have been very fortunate since 1998. My first trip to Africa, a lot of you perhaps remember this. I know Brother Austin remembers because I was with him. And ever since then, the Lord have used me in a very peculiar way. And I'd like to bring the love of the brethren in Ghana to each and every one of you. There's a lot of suffering going on among the dear ones over there. You know, what we are is a blessing to those that are hungry for the truth. Sometimes they don't progress as fast as we do. They don't have the means. They may be slow in learning. They don't have all of the privilege of traveling to convention as we here in America. But each time I receive a letter that reminds me to have the brethren in America to send letters to them to encourage them. They need encouragement as we encourage one another. We are in the school of Christ, brethren. And these dear brethren there, they are in dire need of many things. One brother, he had a motorcycle. So he called me up, sent me a letter. He says, you know, I can't witness because I can't get around. So he says, if I only had a bicycle, I could get around. Within about a couple of weeks, he said, I've established three new ecclesias, and I'm sending you the address of these three new ecclesias. Things like this happens all the time. One brother sends me a letter. He says, I have no means to support myself. Could you bring me just a camera? With a small camera, I can take pictures and get paid for it. Things like these, the small things that we can do and I can do, that I feel very pleased that the Lord is using me this way. Not only that, but being able to serve the brethren in our ecclesia in San Luis Obispo. And by the way, they all voted to send their love to the brethren here. Thank you. Yeah, appreciate
it.
So
I'm very pleased to be able to come to to San Diego Convention, which I love. And Brother Carl, I think the last time that I saw him, it was here at the San Diego Convention.
Thank you.
So I thank you and ask the entrance of your prayer, so I pray for you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I see we have another hand there. Please.
Patricia Rice, San Diego. I've been following the brethren, sharing their thoughts on CUC Me and staying staying on topic with the discourses. It's been a blessing. And some of them, and they send their love, particularly their love, greetings, prayers, and blessings from Shai Dharmastat, Chais Dharmastat, Old Ron, Charles and Barbara Thornton, Brian Kutcher, Ruth Powell, Richard Alexander, and Rachel Alexander.
Thank you. Okay. We appreciate that. We have another hand here. Yes, go ahead.
Good evening. Good afternoon, brethren. My name is Brother Fred Sansom from the Agawam, Massachusetts Ecclesia. And this is my first time to the West Coast, this convention. It's the weather is wonderful, and even more wonderful than that is the fellowship we have here. And first, I'd like to bring the love of the class in Agawam. And second, on our way out here, we were at the airport, and as we were coming in, we Sue hears a voice saying, Sue, and she's looking around to see who it was, and she finally turns around. It was Sister Anna Mae Sarasi and Brother Richard. I guess they were on their way to, he was on his way to serve the convention in Kentucky, was it? Louisville? Okay, and so they want to have their special love sent to the class and this convention. And just one experience I had recently, I was picking up my son Aaron, and he basically loaned his car to his mother Sue, and so I was picking him up, and he said, I forgot that a friend of his, Jim, was at the automobile mechanics shop, and I have to pick him up. So could we go over ahead? I said, yeah, sure, we have time. We can go over that. And I went over and picked him up, and I said, you guys hungry? Would, you know, because about lunchtime. And so we went to a local restaurant to pick up a bite to eat. And we got started into a long conversation about the Bible. Through it started with the fact of since they're both in their early 20s about military service and the military draft, and I gave them my thoughts, and we had an hour-long conversation starting there and going all over to the Planet of the Ages. And this kid's name was Jim. He was really wanting to know because he didn't know what to believe. And it always amazes me. I don't know if any of the other brethren ever get this experience, that after you finish witnessing to somebody, having that the feeling of, man, there's so much I don't know, you know, there's so much I need to learn, that it, to me, it gives me a great motivation to continue to study the Lord's Word and to hopefully do a better job of bearing witness to the truth. So that's just
thank
like
you.
Thank you.
I appreciate that, Brother Gold. We have another one here.
I'm Johnny Golby from Alberta, Canada, and I got a little piece here to read that kind of fits pretty good with Brother Peter's From Pride to Humility. I asked God to take away my pride, and he said no. He said, that is not up to him to take it away. that I have to get rid of it. I asked God to heal my crippled child. He said no. He said the child's spirit was healthy and the body is only temporary. I asked God for patience, and he said no. He says patience is a fruit of suffering. It can't be given. It has to be gained. I asked God to give me happiness, and he said no. He said that he gives blessings, and my happiness depends on me. I asked God to save me from pain, and he said no. He said suffering takes me away from earthly matters and draws me closer to him. I asked God for spiritual growth, and he said no. He said I have to grow myself, and he will prune me so that I bring forth more fruit. I asked God if he loved me, and God said yes. I gave my only son who died for you. I asked God to help me love others like he loves me. And God said, finally, you understand.
Thank you. We appreciate that. Anyone else would like to? Yes, I would like Derek to have the microphone next. Derek in the corner. We'll come back to you, brother.
My name is Derek Bowling from the Los Angeles class. I think one thing that really just stands out while I'm here is it's the brethren. It's the fact that we believe the same thing, we have the same God, and we share the same things. Just being together with other people that have the same faith, it's just so helpful, and it's so upbuilding. I've met people from New York. I've met people from other conventions, and this is my second convention that I've been to, and just being able to see the brethren that I've seen for a few times over and over, it's they're my family, and being able to see them is just so helpful and upbuilding and uplifting. It's just such a great thing, and I'm not sure how much people realize what a great thing that they have, the fact that we're able to be together with each other and that we're able to spend time and learn and grow from each other. I guess I just wanted to stress the importance of the gift that God has given us in terms of family and being together. And I guess just a renewed effort for the people that aren't able to get out as often, aren't able to see everybody. I know myself how important fellowship is. I personally feel I'm in a little drought. I live about an hour away from brethren, and I think that to be much. But then when I think about the other brothers that are sick, that are ill, that don't have the ability to get out, I just know how important it is for me to associate, and I could just imagine how important it is for them. So I guess I just wanted to stress the fact of what a great thing that we have, and for the people that that don't have the ability, that we should really, I suppose, have a focus on that and try to really think of the other brethren, I suppose. And it's just, I look forward to the more conventions that I come to over the years, being able to build up this relationship with people. I might only see them during conventions, but it's so good being able to remember the times, reflect on the past times that we've had, and being able to talk. And I imagine myself like the other brothers. I'm sure that there have been other brothers that have gone together, and they've known each other for 20, 30 years over the conventions, just seeing each other and whatnot. And I eagerly look forward to that time. If God decides to keep this earth this long, I look forward to seeing and building relationships with all the people over the years.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Yes.
Thank you. Hi, Brother Dave Demery, local, used to be from up north,
Hello, Edmonton.
Hold the mic up close.
Okay. I'd just like to read one verse from Acts 20, verse 24. It's Paul talking. But I do not consider my life on any account as dear to myself, in order that I may finish my course in the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus, to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God.
Thank you. I appreciate wonderful words. Brother Tim. We only have 10 minutes left, so I would appreciate if you can give opportunity to all of the friends.
Tim Thomas in Albuquerque. I put a card out for Brother Rick Buss. I mentioned yesterday was his 90th birthday. It's not a card. It's just one of the greeting letters. But if you didn't get a chance to send him a greeting, I know he'd enjoy it. Just lots of memories flooding my mind about Brother Carl. We have a little guy, Hunter, that stays with us. And when Carl and Marge came to our convention a year ago, which was his last convention, and he announced it at that time. In fact, he wrote a poem, Kathy, and he had Michael Nakora read it, and we have it on CD. I mean, it's a tearjerker. I remember that. But Hunter and I waited at the airport at the security line for Carl and Marge to come, and they were the last ones off the plane because, you know, it's a process to get the chair assembled. And here they came. It looked like a camel with, you know, luggage. And Marge was loaded down with all her supplies and computer and luggage. They made the supreme effort to come. And once they were at the convention, Carl was giving Hunter rides on his wheelchair like he's prone to do. I remember an experience several years ago in Wausau, Wisconsin, where we're having a PBI meeting. Carl was being wheeled out of the meeting hall. The chair hit a curb and fell over. Carl ended up in the hospital with a broken foot, and I and a couple others spent all night in the hospital with him. And there's Carl cracking jokes to the nurses and the doctors, and he had them in stitches. And I think of an experience where he and Rick and Roberta went to South America together, and on the way home they stopped over in Miami, and Carl saw a poster. It was Pan American or some airline, buy one, get one free. So he and Rick went over and bought one, and they ended up getting a free ticket to Australia. So their next trip was to Australia to visit the brethren. And so it goes on and on. They're in my thoughts and prayers, and I'm sure they are, everyone.
Thank you, Brother Tim. We appreciate it. Yes, Brother Ken.
I'm Brother Ken Allison, and I would like, first of all, bring the love of Teresa Sutherland and Don Englishman from Dolores, Colorado, and also Sister Fernberg from Astoria, Oregon, and the little group that meets in Chino Valley, Sister Pat and Ralph Allison, and Brother Ralph Allison Jr. asked especially to send their love, and I've had a few inquiries about my mother, Sister Pat, who is has Alzheimer's, and I hope that I convey what I have to say, because I don't do well with words, but you know, there's a lot of things that we don't understand that go on, and they sometimes they tear our hearts out, and we wonder why they happened. And you know, this thing has been such a blessing, that not that it's a good thing that my mother is sick and can't remember anything, but it has brought our family together to where we have now a class. You know, my mother has always been a pillar of the truth. You know, and when she was gone, the hardest thing was to have my mother there and her not to be there. You know, to be there and not be there. And I was going through a kind of a dark time through this, and I got a letter from Brother David Rice, and it was a nice greeting and everything. And in that, he said that you are not forgotten. And so it started me to thinking that, you know what, it's time for me to get busy and to make my calling and election sure, and to reach out and do the things that I need to do. And since my attitude has been that way, everything to me is a blessing, you know. And I go down and I see my mother and father. I go down once a month to Arizona, and we have a meeting there, and she's able to attend and sit through the meetings. And you could tell that the new creature is appreciative of what's going on because of the way that she is when the meetings go on. And so there's many more blessings. I know that everybody else wants to share, and I thank the San Diego Ecclesia for putting this on, and especially for Brother David Rice and to have me in his home. And thank you very much.
Thank you. We appreciate that. Yes, Brother Daniel.
I'm David Caravas from Apple Valley, meet with Temecula Fellowship. It's a joy to be back with my spiritual family from San Diego, whom I spent over half my life with. And I just, one memory, since we were talking about Brother Carl and Sister Marge, is when Brother Carl gave a baptismal a discourse for me, and back in 1971, and I'll never forget that. Talk that he gave. It was so beautiful, and I'll never forget Brother Leon Millen, who baptized me. And so brings back fond memories to be back here again. And I just want to leave you with Ephesians 4. I know we don't always all agree with everything, but we are, according to Ephesians 4:4, we are one body, one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. I love you all very much.
Thank you. Brethren, you know, I had to exercise a lot of self-restraint not to tell you how many pleasant memories in my heart come up when I think about Brother Carl. I have this habit, which I learned, to associate different objects together that help me to memorize them. So I have scriptures which I associate with different brothers, sisters, where I had the opportunity to discuss. And I would like to share just one, because I have many scriptures. When I read them, I see the discussion with Brother Carl. It was when we were driving to visit a class south of Poland, and Sister Alicia would know the name, because we were driving, and here's the sign indicating the city limits, and it says Kozy, which in Polish means goats. Brother Carl looked, yes, we'll talk about sheep and goats. And from this moment on, when I read or study the parable about sheep and goats, that comes to my mind, and the explanation which Brother Carl gave, which stayed in my heart. And I have to tell you that I have many more scriptures like that associated with his ministry and the blessings we were able to share together. So we are full of hope and rejoice with him and with wonderful promises we have together. I think our time is up, and I think we should close with the number 2. Suggestion from Sister Kathy. Thank you for sharing with us. I think we have a wonderful family.
Thank you, Brother Grootson, and thank you all for your testimonies. We got to realize that we all have trials and we have blessings. If we take them in the right way, that the Lord has given them to us for a reason, and we can look to them. And as the young children said, praise ye the Lord, hallelujah. And if we can just lift our hearts up in song and in prayer every day and just realize the Lord is with us, that we will receive the blessing that we need. Let us stand on for all the verses. We'll sing hymn number 2, and then I'm going to ask Sister Eleanor Baum if she will close in prayer, please.
This will I do. Thy testament, O God, I take, and thus remember Thee. When to the cross I turn my eyes, and rest on Calvary, O Lamb of God, my sacrifice, I must remember Thee.
Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the privilege of being here. And we know that You can read each heart that's bowed before You that perhaps does not have the strength or the courage to speak up, but their hearts are overflowing with love and compassion and gratitude for the beautiful gift You have given us, the knowledge of the truth and the knowledge that all the families of the earth shall be blessed. How great Thou art, Father, and how worthy to be praised. We do pray for the leaders who are trying so hard to do that which the Lord has already planned, that His kingdom will be established. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and bless and be with all those troops serving our country and their families, and comfort those who have lost loved ones. And be with us the remainder of the day, and help us to grow in love and to cherish one another in the time that we have. And bless dear Carl and all the loving memories that everyone has. And we rejoice and look for the time when we shall all be together. And Jesus, and we just thank You so much for everything. How great Thou art, and how worthy to be praised.